Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Unveiling the Mysteries of the Bible. This program is brought to you live by the JC Overcomers Ministries out of Nebraska City, Nebraska, and I'm your hostess, Cheryl Fisher. During these programs, I want to share with you some of the treasures I found during my treasure hunt into the Word of God and some of the miracles I've seen along the way. Tonight, we're continuing our study on the word faith. But before we get into that, I do want to open this letter just like always. And tonight, I'm going to be lifting up Psalms 51, verses 9 to 13, and Psalms 19, verses 12 to 14 to get us started. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret fault. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I thank you again for another chance to come on Blog Talk Radio and get into the scriptures. Lord, I need your help to guide and direct exactly where I go in the scriptures. I need you to put on my heart exactly what you want me to talk about as we get into these scriptures tonight. I need you to lead me and guide me, Lord, in your word, so that the things that are said and done here tonight can in some way edify the body of Jesus Christ and bring glory to your name. I ask you, Lord, to send your spirit out and draw in those that you want to be here tonight to hear this. And I also ask you to send your spirit out, Lord, and draw in those that you want to hear this in the archives later on as well. I ask you, Lord, to help us to come together in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, that we may know you the way you desire for us to. Open up our understanding, Lord, to see you a little bit better as we get into these scriptures tonight, I ask. Lord, I also lift up the babies that are being slaughtered, the innocent lives around the world that are being slaughtered, Lord. I lift up that situation and I ask you to put it to an end. I also lift up the persecuted that are being persecuted around the world, Lord. I ask you to give them the strength to stand on the truth. Let them not be slaughtered because of them standing in, while they're standing in vanity, Lord. Let them have the truth. If they are going to go to their death or be tortured or tormented for your name, Lord, let it not be in vain, but let them have the truth, Lord. Reveal yourself to them so that as they are standing for you, Lord, that many souls will come into the kingdom as a result. The very ones that are persecuting them or torturing them or doing harm to them in any way, Lord, may come to know you in some way through their testimony. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Have your way here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, tonight we're going to continue where I left off yesterday in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 18. That's Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 18. And I want to welcome Barb on the phone line. Praise the Lord. It's good to have you here, sister. All right. Now, yesterday I left off in Isaiah 49, and so we're just going to basically continue from where I was at. And I want to bring out some things that are within these scriptures to try to give a better understanding of exactly what God is talking about. As he reveals it to me, I want to share with you some of the things that the Lord has shown me within the scriptures of what these scriptures are actually talking about. Okay, verse 18 of Isaiah 49 says, "Lift up thine eyes round about and behold." So this is something that we're supposed to pay attention to and see this. It says, "All these gather themselves together and come to thee." This is the people that are going to come to know the Lord. That is the picture it's talking about here. And it says, all these gather themselves together. We draw nigh to God, and he draws nigh to us. When we lift him up, he draws us to himself. And let me pull up those scriptures so that you can see that. Take me just a moment to find the one I'm looking for. This is John chapter 12. Let me put that in the chat room. John chapter 12 and verse 32. John 12 verse 32 says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," and this was Jesus speaking, says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth." Now, think about this. Here's the light of God that came into the world. And if we lift up that light of Jesus Christ, this is the picture that we see here. It says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." It takes the lifting up of Jesus Christ in order for people to be drawn to him. You look at this in the physical. If you lift up a physical light, that light spreads out farther. If you are in a place that is pitch black, and you light a lamp, say there's a whole bunch of people round about you. You know, some of them can be quite a distance away. But if you're in an area that has absolutely no light and there's a whole bunch of people there wandering around, bumping into each other because they can't see, and you light a light, as you light that light, some are going to start seeing that light. But as you lift that light up, if you lift up a lamp higher and higher, the higher it's lifted, the easier people are going to be able to see the light and be drawn to it. This is what we're supposed to do with Jesus Christ. We are supposed to lift up the truth to others. That is the light, the spiritual light of God. The more we lift him up to others, the more others are going to be drawn to him. It says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Okay, now I want you to get this other picture here. All right, so if the light is being lifted up and people are being drawn to that light, those people are surrounding that light. They're being gathered together to the light. This is what God is doing in the spirit as we lift him up before others. And I want to welcome the guest in the chat room, please, God. It's good to have you here. As we lift up Jesus Christ to others, they are going to be drawn to him, just like when you lift up that light in a dark world, a true light, when there's no other light in that world. When you lift up that light, people want to come to that light because they don't want to be bumping into one another in the darkness any longer. Well, in the spiritual, that's going to happen as well, because God's going to bring it forth. And as the people gather around that light from all sides, they are physically surrounding that light. Think about this, because in this scripture that we're getting into, we are going to be talking about the ornaments. We become as the ornaments of Jesus Christ. As we're gathered together surrounding him, we are adorning him. When people are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are serving him his way, in God's eyes, we are like ornaments on him. And it says here in Isaiah 49, verse 18, it says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together. It's up to us to come to that light. He'll draw us. But we have to take those steps and come to him. It says, all these gather themselves together. This is what's going to happen in the end as well. We are going to be gathering ourselves together to him. It says, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all. If the people are all surrounding Jesus Christ, it's like a garment round about him. We actually, within the scriptures, God gives this picture of the temple of God, and he's dwelling in the midst of the temple. Well, each one of us is as a temple of the Lord. He dwells in the midst of us, of each one of us that are serving him his way. Not only that, but when we come together, each one of us is part of the temple of God, the entire temple of God. Each of us is as a lively stone built up together to be a temple of God that he's going to dwell in the midst of. So that temple is surrounding him, and he also is surrounding that temple because he's the walls of salvation that are round about us. This is just pictures that God gives within the scriptures. Each one of us is a separate temple, but we're also going to be brought together as in unity because, see, each one of us is supposed to be representing Christ separately and along with the rest of the members of the body of Christ. We're also supposed to be a unit together. So God has this picture within the city of Jerusalem as each one of us are little cities, but then we're also part of the city of God. Okay? So he has these pictures over and over within the scriptures, and I want you to be able to see what I'm talking about here. We are surrounding him as we gather together to him, and God talks of this as this garment, as the ornaments on his garment, because we're glorifying him. When we serve him, we're glorifying him. And so as we're gathered to him, we're surrounding him, but the Spirit of God is also surrounding us as the walls of salvation that surround the city of God. It's just beautiful, the things that God has within the scriptures. Okay, so it says here in the second part of Isaiah 49:18, it says, as I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all. We become his clothing because we're surrounding him. It says, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. We are bound to him through the word of God, being grafted into our hearts. Just like I was talking about this picture of the tree yesterday, last night. Those branches on the tree, he's the main tree of life. And we become branches on his tree. And the branch is grafted into the tree by the word of God. As the word of God becomes part of us, we become a branch attached to the tree of life. And it's the word of God is the connection that connects us. The word of God is the sap, basically, that comes from the tree that nourishes the branches. Okay? So, again, the branches are surrounding the tree. But the branches are also part of the tree. Praise God. So can you see these different pictures that God has within the word? It's beautiful. Okay, it says, as I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as an ornament and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. Okay, I want you to stop and think about something else here. When Jesus was on the cross, he had a crown of thorns. Those thorns surrounded his head. This is what we are to God before we come to him. Before we come to the knowledge of the truth, we are as those thorns. But when he changes us, we change into the, the stones that he puts in his crown. I'm trying to think of what he calls them. Jewels in his crown. So we're changed from, you know, he starts out with a crown of thorns that surrounded him on the cross. But in the kingdom of God, that crown of thorns is his glory. It's no longer the crown of thorns, but it's changed into the glory of God. The true crown of life. And each one of us is set in that crown as jewels that are surrounding his head. Instead of the crown of thorns surrounding his head, now it's the jewels round about his head on his crown of life instead. So there again, you have another picture of how God describes this within the scriptures. Okay, there's some other scriptures that I want to pull up on the ornaments so that you can see this just a little bit. Let me put ornament in here. And also, just as we consume the Word of God comes inside of us. And you have this picture of, as we're consuming the word of God, God is consuming us because his word is changing us. That plant that's growing within us is consuming us from the inside out. So he's within us and we're consuming him, and then he covers us as well. When it's all finished, we're completely covered in him. So it works both ways. He's inside of us, and we end up being inside of him because he's consuming us and we're consuming him. It's beautiful. Okay, I want to look up ornament and pull up some scriptures on this. Let me run through them real quick. Okay, there's one in Exodus 33. That talks about ornaments, and it's talking about physical ornaments. Let's just go ahead and read this to get a picture of it. This is Exodus 33 and verse 1. And it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt." Whoops, just a moment. Let me try this again. I had to do something. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people." This is why at that time he wasn't going in the midst of them, because of their stiff-neckedness. It says, "Lest I consume thee in the way." And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. Notice, there's the ornaments that man tries to decorate himself with, and then there's the ornaments that God decorates us with. Not only are we an ornament to him, glorifying him, but he also is an ornament of grace to us, glorifying us. Okay, let me pull up some more scriptures on this. Here's one where the Lord tells them, this is the very next verse in Exodus 33:5. It says, "For the Lord had said unto Moses, Say unto the children of Israel, You are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornament from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb." All right, now if you stop and think about the spiritual picture of this, we, if we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit of God, we are in what God calls our righteousness, which is as filthy rags to God. If we're walking in our righteousness, which would be our own ornament, so to speak, it to God is as filthy rags, okay? So if we are walking in what we think is righteousness and our own glory, well, to God, it's as filthy rags. He wants us to take off what we think is righteousness and put on Christ instead, the true ornaments of God. All right, so can you see that picture here? We're supposed to take off ours, just like the Lord's telling them here, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. Okay, we're supposed to take off what we think brings us glory and put on Christ so that we can bring glory to him. Okay, it's completely different. All right, let me find some more here on ornament. Because there's, I want you to see this picture a little bit better. Okay, I'm just skimming through some. So be patient with me as I find the ones that I'm looking for. here we go. This is a picture of God's ornament. And this is in Proverbs chapter 1. This is Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. That's Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Notice it's talking about wisdom and instruction. It says, and we get this through the Word of God, by the way. Verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." That's hearing the Word, okay? "And forsake not the law of thy mother, for they," here's the Word of God, it says, "for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." It's the actual Word of God that adorns us. And he even describes it, this is the spiritual instead of the physical. It says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace." That's the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And our Father is God, and his Word is his instruction, okay? And it says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head." Remember I was talking about the thorns and changing that to the precious stones that he puts in his crown instead. Well, just like Jesus will have a crown of life, and we are the precious stones that get put into his crown. Well, we each end up supposed to be as Jesus. So each one of us will have a crown also. If our minds are stayed on our sins, then that's like the crown of thorns that's round about us, because God describes the thorns as sins. Even with Paul, the messenger of Satan was as a thorn in his side. Let me pull that up real quick. So if we are following Satan through sin, it's like we are surrounded by the thorns instead of having the grace of God. Okay, this is in, let's see. Whoops, I put the wrong thing in here. Hold on a minute. It's taking me a little while to find it. There it is, thorn in the flesh. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And this is Paul speaking here. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan." So here, the messenger of Satan is described as a thorn. So if we're in our sin, Satan's surrounding us. And that's like us having a crown of thorns. Just like the devil was surrounding Jesus Christ on that cross, not because he had sinned, but all of his enemies were round about him on that cross. And you have this type of channel where the enemy is round about us, trying to get us, trying to deceive us, trying to get us to follow him. Okay, so it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Okay, so if we're in sins, it's like the thorns surrounding us. Okay, because the messenger of Satan is as a thorn. All right, but God wants to change that crown, which would be like our clothing that is as filthy rags. God wants to change all of that to his righteousness, which is as the linen garments that he will clothe us with, and the crown of life will replace the other. It's awesome how God has this within the scriptures. All right, so it says in Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So here's the ornaments of God instead of the ornaments in the physical. We have the spiritual ornament. Okay, and that the Word of God is what does it. And so if we are in the Word of God, then and we're surrounding Jesus Christ, we are like ornaments around Him. Praise God. Here's another one that talks about the ornament of grace. See, this is Proverbs 4 and verse 7, I think. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, let's start in verse 5. Proverbs 4, verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, forsake it not. Remember, again, this comes through the Word of God. It says, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Notice, he's talking about getting wisdom and understanding, and neither decline from the words of my mouth. It's always keeping a hold of the Word of God. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. So the words preserve our life. Think about it. It says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. He wants us to be able to understand the Word of God. It says, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. We surround wisdom, and wisdom surrounds us. Jesus is the wisdom of God. His word, that is God's wisdom. It says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Here's the ornament of grace. It's a crown of glory. That's the crown of life that we get from God. And God talks of this as an ornament. Praise God. It says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Praise God. Okay, let me look at some more on. Here's one in Proverbs 25. We're looking at the ornament. This is Proverbs chapter 25. And verse 12. Let me see if I need to back it up at all. Let's do verse 11 of Proverbs 25. And again, here it's talking about the word. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold. It's the word itself. Now remember, in Exodus, we were talking about in that scripture where they were to take off their ornament. And here it's a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver as an earring of gold. So the Israelites would take off their earrings and God would replace them with his word. Instead of us adorning ourselves with our own ornaments, we're supposed to be adorned by God, by righteousness, by truth instead. Instead of lifting up what we think is desirable, we're supposed to be lifting up Jesus Christ instead. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Here's someone that is reproving through the wisdom of God. They are as an ornament of fine gold. God is looking at this as an ornament of fine gold. And remember, he's going to adorn himself with those ornaments. The people that are doing things his way, they bring him glory. And so he looks at them as an ornament of fine gold. Let me read this again. Verse 11 of Proverbs 25. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. That's an ornament to God. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. It's awesome, the picture that God has within his word. Okay, let me pull up some more. Ah, here's one in Isaiah chapter 3. Let's start in verse 16. That's Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16. Praise God. And just before we go to this next verse in Isaiah 3, verse 16, I need to take a quick break. So I'm going to play some music for you, and I will be right back. We're going to be going to Isaiah 3 and verse 16 right after I get back. Let me find some music to play. Here we go.
Why am I such a dusty window for your light to shine through? Why am I just a tiny star in a sky already blue? Why do I offer everything with my heart closed like a fist? I wanna love you better than this. Why do I have to break your heart before I fall to my knees? I know it's time to pray to change, give all I have to give. Lord, I want to love you better than this. So renew me, remake me, undo me, unbreak me.
Come.
Praise God. All right, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty." Now, the haughty, that's like pride being lifted up, lifting themselves up. And yesterday we talked about the mountains, and he's going to humble them. He's going to bring the mountains down. It says, "Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tingling with their feet." Now, this tingling with their feet, if you stop and think about it, our feet are supposed to be shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. All right? But this is a physical picture of them having their ornaments, you know, their fancy things. They're all lifted up because they have their physical ornaments, okay? Watch what God says about this. It says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head." Notice the crown of the head. Instead of it being the crown of life, the glory of God, it's going to be a scab instead. It says, "Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts." What the Lord does, he exposes our sins. And that's basically the picture he's talking about here, is discover their secret parts. We try to hide our sins, but God exposes them. He turns his light on and exposes them fully. Verse 18 says, "In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet." Notice here, tinkling ornaments, and it actually calls it ornaments. Well, our feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're supposed to be walking according to the word of God. But here they have their ornaments about their feet. It says, "In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their calls and their round tires like the moon, the chains." See, they have their chains too. But remember, the word of God is supposed to be the chain about our neck. And here, they've got their chains. In verse 19, it says, "The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tabrets and the earrings." Remember the earring, of gold and upon an obedient ear. That's the picture of God's ornaments. Well, here, he's going to take away their physical ornaments that are trying to make them all high and mighty. It says, "The bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles." Notice it's talking about their suits of apparel. See, God wants to change what we're covered in and cover us in himself instead. It says, "The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink." Because they didn't want to serve God. They didn't want him to decorate them. Well, he's going to remove what does decorate them. And he's going to expose what's within their hearts and their minds. It says, "And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink." And remember the root of rottenness. Okay, if they're attached to the other through pride and those things, he's going to bring up that stink for all to smell. It says, "And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle," remember our loins are supposed to be girt about with truth. And it said, he's going to rend their girdle. It says, "And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty." See, if Jesus is surrounding us, he beautifies us. But if we refuse him, this is the result. We're going to get burned up in hell. And it says, burning instead of beauty. It says, "Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. She's not going to be sitting on the throne with God. She's going to be sitting on the dirt instead. Okay, there's another scripture that the Lord was reminding me of. I was while I was reading this verse about the burning instead of beauty. Okay, and if we do end up repenting. Oh, Lord. My spelling is so atrocious. I'm trying to find something. And I've got to be able to spell it. Okay, where was that verse again? Beauty. That's what I'm looking for. Beauty. Okay, now I can find it, hopefully. Isaiah 61. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 61 and about verse 3. Okay, so remember he put on him sackcloth. Let's see, where did that say that? Yeah, a girding of sackcloth and burning instead of beauty. Okay, so God brings us to mourning. And then hopefully at that point we will repent and then watch what the Lord does after we repent. Okay, this is Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 2. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Remember, they're supposed to put on sackcloth of mourning. They're supposed to get into mourning. And then as we do this, when we repent, he exposes all our filthiness, and then we repent. And then this is what he does. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So once he brings us down and gets us into that repentance part, then he can build us back up. See, he tears us down so that he can build us back up. He tears down what we've been covering with, our own righteousness, which in his eyes is as filthy rags. He's got to tear it all down, expose all of those lies, and then he can build us back up in him. His way, not our way. Okay? And that's that beauty for the ashes. Praise God. All right. Let's go to the next one on ornaments. Let me see if I got another one here. Okay. Ah, here we go. Here's another one where God's going to defile their ornament. This is going to be in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Remember those ornaments, that's like what we're covered in. God wants us covered in himself. That's the true ornament of God. Okay, Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. We're supposed to be following Jesus. He's the word, so we're supposed to be following the word, okay? The word is going to lead us in the way to go. And it says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver. Notice the graven images, our graven images end up covering us if we continue to serve those graven images. If we're still serving the vain imagination of our own mind, our own Jesus that we think is Jesus instead of the true one, God wants that image gone. And that's why he says, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver. Because we're covered in what we think is God. whether it's true or not, we're still covered in it. And God wants us taking off what we think is God and putting on the true God. He wants us putting on truth and taking off the defilement. And it says, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images, of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, look at the words, get thee hence. We don't want to be covered in unrighteousness anymore. We don't want those filthy rags. What we think was adorning us, those other idols, the things that we were worshiping. God wants us worshiping truth and that only, and take off all of this defilement and put him on so that he can adorn us in himself. It says, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Praise God. Then, after we put off our unrighteous garments and we get rid of the ornaments that we thought was bringing us glory, in verse 23 it says, then shall he give the rain of thy seed. That's when the Spirit of God comes down on us. When we're obedient to the Word of God and doing what he tells us to do, get rid of those sins, then he's going to rain his Spirit down on us. And the Spirit of God comes upon the children of obedience automatically. And so you see this picture here, even in the Old Testament. Verse 23 of Isaiah 30, then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous in that day, shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Because he's going to feed us from himself. We're supposed to be the sheep of his pasture, and he will feed us from himself. If we just get rid of the things that we think's bringing us glory, and put on Christ instead. Praise God. Okay, let me find some more on ornaments. Hopefully you're starting to see that picture here. Okay, and then we've got the one in where we started out in Isaiah 49:18 that says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. When we take off our defilements and come to him, we actually end up glorifying him. It says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee, as a bride doeth. Praise God. And it says, for thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, because there's going to be so many come to the Lord. It says, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. Praise God. All right, next one on ornaments. Okay, we did the one in, oh, wait a minute. No, we didn't. This is in Isaiah 61. You pull that one up. Let's see where I want to start. Verse 6. Let's go to Isaiah 61 and verse 6. And it says, this is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 6. It says, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them. This is the children of God. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. Now watch this picture here. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Notice it's the robe of righteousness. Okay, so each person that is walking in the righteousness of God that comes to him, that comes to Jesus Christ, if we're walking in the righteousness of God and we're gathering round about him, there's his robe. Because we are walking in his righteousness and we're surrounding him. There's the ornaments again, and he's putting us on. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. He's putting us on himself as we're being gathered to him, and as we're gathering to him, because we're supposed to gather ourselves to him. Praise God. Okay. I wanted to pull up another scripture before I forget, before we go into these ornaments any further. There was one that I wanted to pull up earlier. As we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. And I forgot to pull that up earlier. And I just got reminded of it. As soon as I find it here. This is in James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 8. And it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. When we obey him, he gives us of himself. So through our obedience, we are drawing nigh to him. When we get convicted of something we're doing wrong, and we repent of it, and turn to him and obey what his word's convicting us of. When we obey his word, rather, he's drawing nigh to us. As soon as we obey, we're given the Spirit of God. That rain comes down from heaven. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That's the false joy. We need to get into mourning and humble ourselves so that we can have the true joy of the Lord. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. See, that's getting rid of what we think is our joy and receiving the true joy of God instead. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We got to get low first, and then we get lifted up by him. If we're lifting up ourselves, we're not going to get lifted up by him. We're going to get humbled instead. Praise God. All right, let's go back to the ornaments one. Let me find some more. Here's one in Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 2. Sorry about that. We're going to go to verse 31. That's Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 31. It says, O generation, see ye the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore, say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Remember, he's gonna cover us as ornaments, and we're supposed to be that. We're supposed to be covered in the linen garments, which is the righteousness for the bride. He's covering us as the wedding garment. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? So if we're forgetting him, we're forgetting our ornaments of grace from him. We're forgetting our righteous garments from him. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number, because he is our ornament. He is our attire just to cover us. That's the picture that he's giving here. It says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And it's a shame when we do that. Okay, next one. Here's one in Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and about verse 30, but I think I'm going to have to back it up. Let me take a look at what we've got here. Let's go to verse 20. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 27 of Jeremiah 4. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it. I have purposed it. I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen. Now this is the enemy. This is the city of mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. And remember, we're supposed to tell the devil, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Okay, so this is his city that it's talking about. It says, the whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man to dwell therein. Now, this is the cities that are not following God. Remember, we're supposed to be a city on a hill. Okay, and our light is supposed to shine to others. Well, here's other cities that it's talking about. It says, every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson. See, they're clothing themselves with someone other than Jesus Christ. Their idols instead. Remember, you wanted those idols taken off. It says, and when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Remember, this is the vain imaginations of man instead of God in his word. It says, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Instead of us letting God adorn us with himself, we try to lift ourselves up instead. And it says, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. And that's what the devil does. He seeks our life. He seeks to give us the spirit of death instead of the spirit of life that comes from God. It says, for I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. The murderers, he was a murderer from the beginning, the devil was. We're supposed to cry out to God so that God can come and take away the murderers from among the people so that they can come to the truth. Praise God. Okay. Let's see. Let me find some more. This is in Ezekiel chapter 7. Let me see where I want to start. Let's go to verse 17. This again is ones that have covered themselves in something other than God. This is Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 17. It says, all hands shall be feeble and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them. Instead of God's righteousness covering, it's horror instead. Fear. Think about it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, so if we're covered in something else, this picture here shows it's going to be horror. It says, they shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon their faces, and baldness upon all their heads. They shall cast their silver in the streets. Their silver, instead of the true gold and silver of God, which is his word, they're going to end up casting their silver. What they've been depending on is going to get cast into the streets. It says, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls. What if we're depending on anything other than the true word of God, it's not going to satisfy us. It can't. And it says, they shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. God gives us over to the deception, the strong delusion, when we reject the love of the truth. If we don't receive the love of the truth, he will give us over to strong delusion. Let me find that scripture real quick. That is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let me see where I need to start it. Let's see. Verse 9. This is 2 Thessalonians 2. And verse 9, and it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. That's the reason people perish, because we won't receive the love of the truth. It says, and with all deceivableness, we get deceit instead of the truth. If we won't receive the truth, deceit's waiting for us. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Because they wouldn't receive the love of the truth, the delusion comes, and it comes from God. He sends it to them. If they won't accept his righteousness and follow him, then he'll give them somebody else to follow, the deceiver, instead. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. If they don't want the truth, they'll get the delusion. It's one or the other. And then it says, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So if we don't want to take off our unrighteousness, all of those filthy rags, God will give us to them forever. Okay, let me see where it was. I think I was in Ezekiel 7, verse 19. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowls, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. This is the result, because they wouldn't receive the love of the truth. They get the stumbling block instead. They fall. That's what a stumbling block does. It causes men to fall because they wouldn't step up on the rock. It says in verse 20, as for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations. They weren't satisfied with his beauty, but they created their own abominations instead. It's just like these other Bible versions. That's the abominations that they created. They didn't want the truth. They wanted to serve their flesh instead. And so they rewrote the word and made it after their own image instead of the image of God. It says, as for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them, and I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall pollute it. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place, for the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. And that's what they've done. They've taken the word of God and they've defiled it. And then that's what they're feeding the people with, is what they've defiled. It's sick. It's a shame. Okay, let's look at some more on ornament. Let's see. I'm just skimming through some of these. Here's one in Ezekiel 16. Take a look at that one. Let me see where I want to start. Let's just start in verse 1. This is Ezekiel 16 and verse 1. And it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now remember, in the spirit, we are part of Jerusalem if we're serving God, or if we claim to be the child of God. This can fit in with us. It says, Son of man, caused Jerusalem to know her abomination. God wants us to know the sins that we have done. Okay? It says, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. Now see, God passes by us and sees us polluted in our sin. Okay? It says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And this is what he does with us. When he sees us in our sin, he'll expose that sin to us to show us what true life is. He says, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Now see, notice the bud of the field. That's what branches do. They bud and they spring forth into life. And we're supposed to be a branch on the Lord. Okay, so the Lord will cause the branch to flourish as long as we're following him his way. And so here's this. Wow, that almost sounded like a tornado. That was weird. Hold on a minute. I need to pull up something on my internet. It was whistling and everything. That was really weird. Ah, yeah. Praise God. There's a tornado thingy in this area. A warning. On the internet, this little link, and it's real close to this area. It says possible tornado and hail. Let me pull it up. I didn't even know that we were in that at this point. Shows it pretty close to us. No, that one's by Plattsmouth. Huh, weird. Maybe the wind just blew a certain way in the window and made it sound like that. One night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard what sounded like a freight train about to run right through my house. Praise God. So hopefully this is not what I just heard. If I did, it's gone by now anyway. I just want to look at this and see what's headed this way. Yeah, it looks like you may have... Ah, there it was. Okay. Some really dark red stuff just passed over Nebraska City, looks like. Okay. Sounds like maybe even some hail. Okay. All right. I just needed to check the weather. If for some reason I go off air, it's because we got a storm all of a sudden. I didn't think we were going to get any more tonight, but it looks like we are. All right, let's go back to Ezekiel 16:6. Now, remember, if all of a sudden I go off air, it's because the electricity probably went out. All right, it says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornament. Okay? It says, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornament. Okay? So that sounds like they did have the Lord. Okay? Says, thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. That if we're in our sins, God looks at us as being naked because we're not covered with him. Okay, so they did come to those excellent ornaments. So they had the Lord at one point. Says, thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee. This is him covering us in himself. See, we are as the bride, just like this picture in with Ruth and Boaz. She laid down at his feet, and he covered her with his skirt. Well, this is what God does for us. We lay down at his feet. We submit ourselves to his feet. And we get ourselves underneath of his feet, and then he covers us with his garment of righteousness. That is the humbling picture, and then he covers us. So you've got that picture here in Ezekiel 16:8. It says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. See, because we're naked in sin, but God will cover our sins in his righteousness when we repent of them. It says, yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. This is what he does. We come to him, repent of our sins, and he washes us with himself. It says, then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood. That's our sins. Because he washes us in his own blood and washes away ourselves and gets rid of our garments and puts his own on us. It says, then washed I thee with water. Yea, that's, we're washed by the water of the word. Okay. It says, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. That's the anointing, the power of God. It says, I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And remember, the chain is the word of God. Okay, it says, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head, thine head. That's the crown of life. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. That's his gold and his silver. That's the word. It says, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour. That's the bread of life. It says, thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. Notice, because he's the one that made him perfect. It says, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty. See, there's the picture of us trusting in our own righteousness, which to God is its filthy rags. It's like we're rejecting him and trusting in ourselves instead. It says, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown. The God lifted up in pride. It says, and played the harlot because of thy renown and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by. His it was. So if we reject God and we turn to serve idols and we start handing out those idols to others, that's the deceit in our hearts, the false doctrine. If we get into false doctrine and we start handing out to others, that's the picture here. It says, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown and poured out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. And of thy garments thou didst take and deck thy high places with divers colors. Didn't want his garments anymore. Wanted their own. It says, and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and makest to thyself images of men. It's like this picture of we had the word of God and we changed it and made it like the image of man instead. Give man's understanding to the word instead of what God had there to begin with. It says, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee. This is all a picture of the word of God. And this is what they do to it. It says, my meat also, which I gave thee. We're supposed to eat the meat of the word. the milk of the word and the meat of the word. God gives these descriptions in the scriptures. It says, my meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee. Thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? This is what we do. And when we change the truth into a lie, we cause the children of God to pass through the fire to the enemy instead of being offered to God. It's shameful. Okay, instead of me continuing here, I want to get into some more of these ornaments. Let's see. I don't think there's no more in this chapter. Okay. I'm just skimming through. Ah, here we go. This is in the New Testament. This is 1 Peter. This is the true ornament of God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me see where, I think we'll just start in verse 1. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. And I think that might be the last one on ornament. Yep. 1 Peter 3 verse 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but look at the opposites here. Instead of the plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, and putting on of apparel, it says here, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That's Jesus, hidden our heart. It says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Here's the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. That's that adorning that's covering us, covering ourselves in a meek and quiet spirit that's being covered in Jesus Christ. It's awesome. Praise God. Okay, now let's go back to where we started here in Isaiah 49, because I wanted you to see God's picture of what he calls ornament. Okay, Isaiah 49 and verse 18 again says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all. That's us coming to Jesus, and we surround him as his clothing. But remember, that's when we're clean. When we have the righteousness of God, we're glorifying him. Okay, it says, as I live, and we're actually glorifying him with his own righteousness that he gave us. Praise God, it's just coming back to him. It says, as I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, because there's so many going to come to the Lord. It says, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other Now, to me, this is a picture of the Israelites that absolutely refused to come to the Lord. And it says, the children which thou shalt have, this looks to me like this is the Gentiles that comes to him after the use him. Remember, the branches of the Israelites get cut off, those that will not receive the faith of God, those branches get cut off. And then the Gentiles get grafted in to replace those branches. Now, there's still the ones that did serve God. You still have all of those that were Jews that did actually believe in God, okay? But then they went to the Gentiles because there wasn't that many of the Jews that would obey him and believe his word. Okay, so verse 20 of Isaiah 49 says, the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? And verse 22 says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles. That's where they're coming from, is from the Gentiles. Because they didn't want him when he was here. He went to that cross alone. But then God, through his spirit, draws the others to the word. It's beautiful. It says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. That's the word of God. He is God's standard. It says, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers. Now remember, the milk of the word. That's what God is talking about as far as nursing. It's taking in the milk of the word. We're nursing off of God by taking in the milk of the word. It says, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers. Because as we share the milk of the word to others, we become kings and priests to God. Isn't that awesome? It says, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Notice the licking up of the dust of thy feet. We're supposed to wash one another's feet with the word of God. That's getting rid of all of the dust. That's all the defilement. It says, let me read this verse 23 again. It says, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. And they shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. That's reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's handing out the word of God. It says, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. This is the enemy has taken the children as his prey. But in this scripture, it shows that they're going to be delivered from his hand. All of those that have been deceived by the lies of the devil, when they get the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, they're being delivered from those that made them pray. It says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. This is like the picture of David taking the lamb out of the bear or the lion's mouth. You know, the enemy tries to consume us, with his deceit. But God's going to turn this around, and he's going to take us right back out of his mouth and give us the truth and heal our wounds. You know, when the lion fangs came down and tries to rip us to shreds, God's going to heal those wounds. It says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. Instead of them consuming the flesh of the Son of Man, the Word of God, they're consuming their own flesh. If they want to oppress us, look at what God feeds them. Their own desires. Their flesh. That's what they get. They're going to get covered in their own righteousness, which is as filthy rags. And it's going to consume them. It says, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Praise God. So there is deliverance coming. Okay, let's see. The next one on faith is in Jeremiah chapter 23. That's Jeremiah chapter 23 and about verse 28, but let me see where we need to go in this one. Let's see. I'm just looking. Verse 19. Let's start there. This is Jeremiah 23 and verse 19. It says, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Okay, a whirlwind in the physical is like a tornado or like a hurricane, and it causes destruction. Okay, so you either have the wind of God, or you end up with the wind of the enemy. And if we reject the wind of God, then that whirlwind from the enemy is going to be given to us. Now, you've got to remember also that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. Let me find that scripture. So there's a good whirlwind, and then there's a bad whirlwind. And I have seen pictures of the spirit in this guy that absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, has a kundalini spirit. I saw a spirit above his head in a picture that looked like a tornado. It looked like that whirlwind in the spirit. Praise God. Let me pull up the scripture where Elijah was taken up. If I can spell it. Okay, maybe it's two words. All right, how do you spell whirlwind? Give me that one back. W-H-I-R. I'm looking. There it is. This is 2 Kings chapter 2. Because I want you to see that there's a destructive whirlwind, and then there's a good whirlwind as well. This is 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says, and it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Okay, so here the Lord is going to take him up in a whirlwind. It says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take thee away, that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over dry ground, on dry ground. We are getting to where I wanted to go, because I want to show you another picture of what God calls that whirlwind. Okay, verse 9 says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and walked and talked, that behold, now watch this. First it says the whirlwind, and now watch. It says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. This is the Spirit of God that came down to get him. It says, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. So here's the Spirit of God coming down as a whirlwind to take up Elijah. Praise God. It's awesome. I want to welcome the guests in the chat room. Okay, so here's the Spirit of God coming down to take him, and he takes him in that, with that chariot of fire and the whirlwind of the Lord. Okay, so now let's go back to Jeremiah 23, verse 19, because I want you to see the other whirlwind, that instead of it lifting us up to God, it's going to destroy instead. There's two different whirlwinds. And like I was saying, I saw a picture of this man that beyond any shadow of doubt had a kundalini spirit. And I saw a picture of a whirlwind above his head that the Lord allowed the manifestation to come forth on that picture. Okay? Well, this was the grievous whirlwind that was on him. It was the other spirit. Okay, it says here in Jeremiah 23:19, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It's coming from the Lord, just like he sends out those spirit of devils upon people. They came from the Lord. He sent them. Okay, well, here you have, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury. Remember, this is the wrath of God, his fury. It says, even a grievous whirlwind, it causes grief. instead of the joy of the Lord. It says, a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And in this picture, that whirlwind that I saw was just above his head. And it looked like it was coming down on his head. Okay, and they bragged about it because they thought it was the Spirit of God. It says, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfectly. Now, this guy, he claims to be like a prophet of God, the one that I'm talking about that I saw that whirlwind on. Okay, now watch what this says in verse 21. It says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their own evil way and from the evil of their doing. But see, what this man was preaching was just the opposite of what God says. Okay? It says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? See, God knows what's really in our heart. It says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? And you wouldn't believe some of the things that this man actually said that he dreamed of, okay? And the visions that he claimed was from God, about how God opened him up and filled him full of boxes, stuffed him full of boxes, okay? Well, this is a picture of what God is talking about right here. Verse 25 says, I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And that's what they do. They convince people to believe them instead of believing what the Word of God says. That's exactly what they do. And it says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell the dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? This guy telling lies, deceiving the children, God looks at him as chaff. And that wind is going to blow him away. It says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? See, the fire of the enemy is just devouring that guy. And that's that whirlwind of destruction that he gets because he rejected the truth and then started feeding the people the lies. It says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's their rock that is not as our rock. That rock, God is going to break in pieces. It says, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. If we're claiming that God says something and he hasn't, we just made ourselves an enemy of the Almighty God. It says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So we need to be wary. Okay, the next one I have on the word faith is in Jeremiah again, but chapter 42. And we'll start this one in verse 1. Jeremiah 42 verse 1 says, then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Lord, you're going to have to help me with this one. I don't know how to pronounce this. Hoshaiah? Yeah, I think so. Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, excuse me, says, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may shew us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. Notice, God himself is a witness to what they're committing themselves to. God hears those words that they've made a covenant with the Lord. I think there must be an animal outside the window. My cat is having a little battle. I'm hearing banging on the window. And she was backing up. Every once in a while, there would be another animal and kind of jump at her and scares her real bad. That was the noise you might have been hearing just then. Okay, it says in verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So here's God is a witness, a true and faithful witness between them. He's there hearing Jeremiah's words, and he's hearing their words. Okay? When they're committing themselves, when we swear to the Lord we're going to do something, he's hearing it. Okay? We can't escape it. Praise God. Okay, that's where we're going to stop tonight. And Lord willing, I'll be back here again tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I do want to finish up with Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. That's number 6, verse 24. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. May God bless and keep each and every one of you that hear this in his saving grace. I hope you all have a wonderful night in the Lord, and may you all have sweet dreams in Jesus. And thank you for taking time out of your day to come and spend it with me as we got into these scriptures. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Every day, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, He proved faithful to me. What's the